seated.
The call to worship is Psalm 116, 8, 9, and 12, 14. For you, O Lord, have delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling, that I may walk before the Lord in the land of the living. How can I repay the Lord for all his goodness to me? I will lift the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people. Responsive reading from Psalm 118, 1-5. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good.
His mercy endures forever.
Let Israel now proclaim.
His mercy endures forever.
Let the house of Aaron now proclaim.
His mercy endures forever.
Let those who fear the Lord now proclaim.
His mercy endures forever.
I called to the Lord in my distress.
The Lord answered by setting me free.
How could I express
I think I should just mention again how appreciative we are to have Julie. I would ask you to join me in prayer. Father God, thank you so much that we can come to you in worship, however we come, at any moment, because you have provided your amazing grace. Whether in formal Easter wear or in ragged work clothes, you have provided us a direct pathway to you by sending Jesus to sacrifice in our place. May we make every day an Easter celebration to honor you and return our love to you. We thank you for the wonderful celebration we were able to share last week. We thank you for the blessing of having Pastor Townsend and Sarah with us. And now we ask for your guidance and intervention, for your will to be done in the future of Harbor of Joy. We may be impatient, even anxious, about our future. So we ask you for your blessing of peacefulness throughout the process that needs to be followed. We ask you for your presence with us, no matter what our future is, so that we may move forward in togetherness to serve you. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. And another blessing we have is Pastor Dan Winkowicz.
Well, good morning. It's nice to see all of you here and some old faces that are new and somehow tanned. Or at least a little bit. So I know many of there's more than one that this is the first Sunday back, and I won't recognize everyone nor be able to name them, but I know some, and they came in the door, and I happened to be standing there when Donna came in the door, so it was great to see her and get one of those hugs, so then I was invigorated to preach. But others are here. Welcome back. It's good to see you. Oh, I see another one right there. Yes, and yes, more and more. Well, thank you for coming back. I hope you had a wonderful time. Iowa is here to greet you, and because of that, of course, we have lovely windy weather. I read many years ago that in Iowa, there are only 15 days a year with no wind. Now, whether or not that is absolutely scientifically true, I do not know for sure, but I think it's right. I think it's right. And it's a joy to be here this morning. Now, this morning we're going to visit an old scripture, and one that should at least be familiar to most of you. And we're going to look at it, and I hope to look at a piece of it in a perspective in a different way, and build on that. So we'll begin reading in the book of Genesis, chapter 17. And a portion of 17 and 18, and then we will go to the book of Mark. So I'll read off the screen so we're in the same translation. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, I am God Almighty. Walk before me faithfully and be blameless. Then I will make my covenant between me and you and will greatly increase your numbers. Abram fell face down, and God said to him, as for me, this is my covenant with you. You will be the father of many nations. You will no longer will you be called Abram. Your name will be Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations. I will make you very fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings will come from you. I will establish my covenant as an everlasting covenant between me and you and your descendants after you for the generations to come, to be your God and the God of your descendants after you. The whole land of Canaan, where you now reside as a foreigner, I will give you as an everlasting possession to you and your descendants after you, and I will be their God. And from Genesis chapter 18, a little while later, the Lord appeared to Abraham near the great trees of Mamre, while he was sitting at the entrance to his tent in the heat of the day. Abraham looked up, and saw three men standing nearby. When he saw them, he hurried from the entrance of the tent to meet them and bowed low to the ground. He said, "If I have found favor in your eyes, my Lord, do not pass your servant by. Let a little water be brought. And then you shall may all wash your feet and rest under this tree. Let me get you something to eat so you can be refreshed and then go on your way now that you have come to your servant." "Very well," they answered, "do as you say." So Abraham hurried into the tent to Sarah. "Quick," he said, "get three of the finest flour and knead it." Yeah, I'm not sure what that was supposed to be, but say us. "And get three cups of your finest flour and knead it and bake some bread." Then he ran to the herd and selected a choice and tender calf and gave it to a servant who hurried to prepare it. He then brought some curds and milk and the calf that had been prepared and set these before them. While they ate, he stood near them under a tree. "Where is your wife Sarah?" they asked him. "There in the tent," he said. Then one of them said, "I will surely return to you about this time next year, and Sarah, your wife, will have a son." Now Sarah was listening at the entrance to the tent, which was behind him. Abraham and Sarah were already very old, and Sarah was past the age of childbearing. So Sarah laughed to herself, and she thought, "After I am worn out and my Lord is old, will I now have this pleasure?" Then the Lord said to Abraham, "Why did Sarah laugh and say, 'Will I really have a child now that I am old?' Is anything too hard for the Lord? I will return to you at the appointed time next year, and Sarah will have a son." Sarah was afraid, so she lied and said, "I did not laugh." But he said, "Yes, you did laugh." And in Mark chapter 4, verses 36 to 41, leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." And the wind died down and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." Let's pray. Father God, as we come to the time of the preaching of your word, we thank you that we've been able to fellowship some and we will fellowship more. We thank you that we have been able to sing and sing songs of praise to the God Most High. We thank you for that. Lord, just today, as I have been here and greeting people, I've learned of many needs and many heartaches. Lord, you are the God who is all-powerful and can meet all needs. So this morning, I pray for many. Lord, you know those specific needs. You know the heartaches. And we thank you that we, Lord, can trust you, because not only can you do it, you will do it, and all according to your will. So Lord, this morning, help me to speak plainly and communicate well. We thank you for your word and the lessons in it. And we thank you in Jesus' name, amen. Well, this morning, we're going to be talking about and one of the names of God that I was studying this week is El Shaddai. Now, many of you would remember, you know, back a few years, of course, a very popular song that Amy Grant made famous, El Shaddai, El Shaddai, El Kom Kom and Adonai. I can praise and lift you high. I will praise and lift you high, El Shaddai. And a beautiful song. So this is actually a Hebrew name of God that you're familiar with. You've heard it. And this morning, I want to talk about what it means, but then how do we apply it to our lives? Because I could tell you what it means in 5 minutes and sit down. Some of you would be very happy if I did that. But I actually want to apply it to your lives, because that's what I do. I read this on Sunday night, and then I just begin to think about it and say, "Lord, okay, if I'm preaching on Sunday, what do you want me to say about this? And what lesson, what do you want me to learn?" So that's what we're going to do. And may God help us. Now in Genesis 17 verse 1, where we read, that is the very first time that the name El Shaddai is used in Scripture. And we'll talk about what that means in a minute. But that's the very first time, and that's why I chose that passage. And I think you'll understand, I'll just tell you why I chose Mark, because it means the all-powerful Lord God Almighty, the one who can still the wind and the waves. And so, what do you need today? As you came to church, what do you need? In business, one is often encouraged to have a BHAG. Do you know what a BHAG is? B-H-A-G. A big, hairy, audacious goal. Now, some companies through the years have had a big, hairy, audacious goal, and they've accomplished it. Coca-Cola was one of those. And others have had big, hairy, ridiculous goals, and they've accomplished those. Well, I don't know if you have that, but maybe you have a BHAN, a B-H-A-N, a big, hairy, audacious need. Most of us do, if we're really honest. I don't know what yours is. It could be in the area of health, and I learned about some of those this morning, and the fear that that brings. I can just tell you that, as I told you, I flew to Thailand and back. Those were 2 15-hour flights, and I can tell you that that was easier at 40 than it was at 60. And that's not much. But real needs and real illnesses. Maybe it's in hurt. Some of you have been betrayed recently, some in the past. Maybe in suffering. And sometimes suffering is it can be physical, it can also be mental. Some of you are here this morning in spite of an awful lot of pain when you rolled out of bed. Now, my grandmother in her 90s warned me. She said, "Dan, if I wake up and nothing hurts, I'm dead." So get ready for it. It's coming. She was not a liar. Some of us have big, hairy needs in regrets. Regrets. What might have been, or what should have I, or why did I ever do that? And you can never go back and make it untrue. And some of you have big, hairy needs in finances. You're just got enough. And you look to the future and say, "I don't know what." Well, so I don't know what miracle you need in your life. I don't know what you need. I know what I need, or think I need. But I do know the God who is big enough to meet you in the middle of all that, and that would be the God who is all-powerful and all-sufficient. And that is our God, El Shaddai. Now, there's a song that I love from Tennessee Ernie Ford. Well, he didn't write it, but he sang it very well. And it's "Standing on the Promises." And that's why I chose that title for the sermon this morning. "Standing on the promises of Christ my King, through eternal ages let his praises ring. Glory in the highest I will shout and sing, standing on the promises of God. And because I'm brave," come on, just sing it with me. "Standing, standing, standing on the promises of God my Savior. Standing, standing, I'm standing on the promises of God." Well, you sang it, but are you? And am I? You ever realize how easy it is to say or sing something but not actually do it? Well, now, okay, so you're going to stand on the promises. Why can you stand on the promises? One of the reasons you can is revealed by God in this name, El Shaddai. It's the first time, and it's used in the Old Testament more than 40 times. It's again used in the New Testament, and it means the all-powerful and all-sufficient God who can do anything and meet any need. And I thank you, Warren Wiersbe, for that explanation of it. He's not only all-powerful, he's all-sufficient. And the picture that is really used in the old Hebrew is the picture of a mother who's nursing her newborn baby. That baby doesn't need anything else but what his mother can give him. And she has all the power in the world to give him everything he needs. A newborn baby doesn't need steak and potatoes. He just needs mom's milk. Think of that picture and think about the power of your God. That's the one you pray to, sometimes flippantly, sometimes quickly, sometimes on your knees. But that is your God. All-powerful, all-sufficient. Now, I want to take a sidelight this morning because I think something that often happens is really bad theology. And we talk in a way that's really, well, we do it all the time. We say things and we'll say, well, let's see, Lord, you'll hear somebody and they'll pray, would you be with Barb and would you be with Dan and would you be, God is already omnipresent. He's already with them. So you don't need to, you may to act in their life, wake them up, help them to be, not such a big dummy. But God, if that you want him to feel his presence, that's one. But as we think about Jesus, who is Jesus? Because now I'm talking about God, El Shaddai. And I'm betting many of you are thinking, well, that was the God of the Old Testament. Hold on, hold on. There is no God of the Old Testament, God of the New Testament. We have one God. And Jesus, what does it say in Hebrews? It's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So Jesus is El Shaddai. He is all-powerful and all-sufficient. So when you pray to God the Father, you are praying to El Shaddai, and you say in Jesus' name. But it's not like there are three gods or that somehow, God, oh, the God in the Old Testament, he was really powerful, but Jesus is just a nice and loving God. No, it is one. The Father's not the Spirit. Jesus isn't the Spirit, he's not the Father, but they are all one God. So never forget that Jesus was there when creation, before creation, at creation, with Abraham, with Moses, and at the cross. Jesus has always been. Now I'm going to return a little bit to the El Shaddai, and my question there for you is the following. Okay. So what kind of promises are we standing on? Well, here I want to talk about eight this morning. Now we'll see how many of them. It'd be fun to give you a test afterwards. And if I'd have been really on the ball, I would have had Lynn Ann put them all up there, but I didn't, and so she didn't, and you don't have them. But here they are. The first one of the eight promises that we can stand on. And we can stand on because he is the all-powerful God. He made the promises. I didn't make the promises. He made the promise. The first one is eternal life. John 3:16 is a verse many of you know. But we often say it, but do we think about it? For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life, eternal life. Life on this earth is short. Eternity is forever. I often think, and I've said, God gives us two eyes. One, to keep an eye on this life, because we have to live it. We have to cut our grass. We have to fix our driveway. We have to paint the house. We have to buy groceries. But we can't spend all our time thinking about this and no time spending about on eternity. You'll notice, of course, as people get older, they at least should spend more time thinking about eternity because it's staring them in the face. But truly, we don't know when that's coming. This life doesn't last forever. So the first one is eternal life. The second one is rest. Rest for the weary. That's one of the promises of God Almighty. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. It says in Matthew 11:28. Rest. How many of you need rest? Yeah, I mean, it's like, what, does it ever stop? I don't know about your life. My life is very busy, and I keep saying, I wonder how to make it less busy, but I never come up with a solution that is not more painful than what I want. I get up in the morning, I got to go to work. I have to go, unfortunately, because it's my business. I mean, I can't just call it. Well, I can call in sick for a while, but unfortunately, You know, as if you would go to, if you would call in at work and they'd ask who's in charge, they would say, "Oh, her name is Louisa. Do you want to talk to her?" And I have a little sign on my desk that they made for me. It's called "Second in Charge." The one on her desk says "Boss Lady." So unfortunately, I live with the boss lady. I can't just. You got to go in. You got to go. And we have Sophie, and Sophie has her needs, and she gets up in the morning smiling and bobbing and bouncing from leg to leg at 4:30 or 5:30, whenever it is, and you don't get an option to say, "Well, sorry, Sophie, not today, just take care of yourself." No. And then, you know, yeah, Louisa says, "You want more time? You can stop preaching." But unfortunately, said Dan, "You work because you have to. You preach because you love it. So I know it's not quitting." But God gives us rest. When you lay down at night, can you sleep? You should be able to. We should be able to turn off the. There's not a lot of rest in this world, is there? It's more worry and more worry and more worry. Of course, we all know that if we turn off the news. I have one guy that works for me, by the way. He hasn't watched the news or listened to it in 10 years. I say, "Hey, what's going on?" I have no idea. I get up in the morning and I do my job, and I don't care. He might be onto something. It's kind of amazing. He's kind of ignorant, but it's nice. The third thing is this. So eternal life, rest, and the third one is assurance of salvation. "The one who comes to me, I will certainly not cast out," said Jesus in John chapter 6. Do you realize how good of news that is as you approach the end of life? No fear in death. You should not have any fear in death if you're a follower of Christ. Now, I know you don't know what's going to happen, but it's better than this. It's better than, why? Now, you shouldn't look for it either, because God made us to cling to this life and enjoy it. And so we do, and that's why we enjoy things, but we shouldn't have, it's absolute assurance. If you have put your faith in Christ, you are assured that your eternal home is there. So we have eternal life and rest and assurance of salvation. And then God's presence is the fourth one. In Matthew 28:20, Jesus said, "Lo, I am with you always." You are never alone. Never alone. I don't like being alone all the time. My alone time, I'm happy if I'm in my truck driving down the road. I can be alone all day. I don't miss anybody. But I don't want to be, you know, often as we get older, you don't be alone. Many of you are alone. But you're not alone because Jesus is there with you. The fifth thing is peace. "Peace I leave you, my peace I give you," John 14:27. Well, now, wait a minute. Is there any peace on this earth? Now, if we watch the news, it'll just freak you out because there are wars and wars and more wars and murders and robberies. And I have people, and again, at work that just love to watch the jail rosters. And they come in on Monday morning, and that I always know they're going to be, "You see who's on the jail roster in Clay County?" And occasionally I've said, "No, do you think they're available for hire?" They look at me, it's like, but in this life, we live so consternated. I do. I mean, I'm putting all my thoughts on you. It's like, oh my goodness, you know, what? Okay, I don't think much about what I'm going to wear. I just don't. I could wear the same. I could have four pair of blue jeans and four shirts and wear them the rest of my life. I could care less. My wife cares what I wear. My wife cares what she wears. But I don't worry about that. I do worry about other things. You want to know a big one for me? Many of you know it. Who's going to love my Sophie when I'm gone? Boom. You want to stay awake at night? That's all I have to think about. And I go back to these promises that God says he will care for his own. You have big ones too. I don't know what they are. The sixth one is victory over temptation. In 1 Corinthians 10, it says, "No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability." Isn't that something? Now, I don't know. Some of you I know better than I know others, so I don't know what your temptations are. I always assumed when I was 20, when I hit 60, it'd kind of be over. There wouldn't be any more temptation, and I'd just be, you know, in like flan, I'm just zooming down towards eternity. Well, now I'm 63, and guess what? There are still idiots out driving around on the road. And many other things, and, you know, I mean, you... If I started talking to you and I could say, well, you know, most of you now are at a stage where you may not have a mother-in-law anymore, you know, okay, but I'll bet you got a daughter-in-law or son-in-law, or you got a neighbor, you know, you got something, and it's like, man, the promise is that nothing is beyond us with Jesus' help to overcome. Nothing. Number seven is provision for needs. In Philippians 4:19, it says, "And my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus." Now, I know all our needs are different. My father used to say, our wants are many and our needs are very few. And I don't know what your needs are. But God promises that he will meet what you need. And when I say that, I am very aware of some of the people in this room this morning and how close to the edge they live. But he promised, and he never lies. The final one is new creation. "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come." And I want you to know, I don't know your pasts. Patty and I were talking about Marie, who went to Tanzania, and many of you know her, and she's quite ill now, and we were talking about her, and she's gone through a lot of difficulty in life, and some of you, if we would just flip up and we would, do we want to write books? I've had people tell me, you know, you ought to write a book, but you need, I said, no, there's a few chapters I would leave out, thank you very much. Isn't it beautiful that he says, all has become new? Your past does not matter. There's a story of from Russia, from long ago, and there was a story being told in one of the villages that there was a little girl there, and she said when she went out to the forest to gather wood, she would often talk to God. He'd visit her there, and they would walk and talk together. And the priest thought, well, you know, I better do something about this because I don't think so. And so he met with that girl, and he said, well, they tell me that you talk to God. And she says, oh, yes, yeah, I pick up sticks, and he walks with me, and he tells me things, and we talk. And, well, the priest said, well, hey, look, the next time you're together, would you ask him what the sins were that I confessed yesterday? And she said, well, oh, okay, yeah, I'll do that. And so about a week went by, and they met up, and he said, hey, did you go pick up sticks? Yeah, did you meet with God? Did you talk to him? I sure did. Well, did you remember to ask him about, oh, yeah, yeah. She said, I asked him about, you know, what sins you confessed last time. And he said to tell you, he does not remember. Because that's what he said. He doesn't remember our sins. He disremembers them. It's not like he's forgetful. He cuts them out. I don't know what you got in your past. I don't know what keeps up in that. Maybe nothing. But there may be one person here who thinks, oh, why did I ever? How could have I ever? Well, you can go to this verse and rest on it and plant your 2 feet there and live there. Because your past does not matter, your future does. What will you do today? Well, so my question then is, when we look at these, you know, eternal life and rest for the weary and assurance of salvation and God's presence and peace and victory over temptation, provision, and then a new creation, do you believe these? Can you plant your plant your feet there. We're not going to sing again, but verse 5 says, standing on the promises, I cannot fall. Listening every moment to the Spirit's call. Resting in my Savior as my all in all. Standing on the promises of God. Are you? And my point is, we can stand on those promises because He made them. That's the only reason those promises have value. Because El Shaddai, the all-sufficient, all-powerful God, makes those promises. And He makes those promises to you, and He makes the promises to Harbor of Joy as a church. You stand. And by the way, when you stand on those promises, do you know where you are? Well, Psalm 91, verses 1 and 2 tells us, whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. And there I stand. So come and stand with me, would you, on the promises of God. He is El Shaddai, and His promises will not and cannot fail. Let's pray. Father, would this be an encouragement to my soul in the day by day? And would this be an encouragement to my friends here in the days and weeks and years ahead? You know what we need. And Lord, that's why You taught us to pray, Thy will be done. As we pray Your prayer, Lord, later, would You help us to remember? You are the one who knows what's best. You have all the power. You're all sufficient. And so, Lord, we'll stand on Your promises, and we'll face the future with hope in our hearts as we look forward. We thank You in Jesus' precious name. Amen. And we're going to sing a great song. I was encouraging the group this morning if they would like to do the motions like we did in Bible school. I don't know if they're going to take us up on it. And if any of you want to stand, you know what? Sorry, but you really need to stand up for this song. You cannot, if you can stand, stand up. And by the way, this song is to be sung with gusto. So let her go. And let us pray together as the Lord Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And let us repeat together the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven by the power of the Holy Spirit. He became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory, judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshiped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. And now may El Shaddai, Lord God Almighty, bless you and keep you, and may he gather us all together again. Amen.
Thanks be to God.